Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get 2 free audiobook downloads and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/footballsamerica. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, iPad, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For the listeners of the Footballs America podcast, Audible is offering 2 free audiobooks and a free 30-day free trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Books from all genres and walks of life right into your ears. The Hobbit by Tolkien, Divergent by Veronica Roth, Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg, The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak, and Always Looking Up, The Adventures of an Incurable Optimist by Michael J. Fox. To download your free selections today, go to audibletrial.com/footballsamerica. Again, that's audibletrial.com/footballsamerica, or go to footballsamerica.com and click the banner on the homepage.
Hey everyone, this is Ron from Football is America, and we are inviting you to check out our website, footballisamerica.com. Catch up on all the shows and interviews right there.
We really would appreciate it if you check this out. We've had a lot of work put into it. We're very proud of our product. We really, really need you to get on there. Take a look at our links. Get on our GoFundMe if you got some spare cash you can throw at us. Check out our Amazon links. Check out our Audible links. We've got so many great, great things to give to you. Use that Amazon search bar when you're going to be buying on Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It'll take you right to the Amazon page as if you had searched through Amazon itself, because it is Amazon itself. It just helps us out when you come to make your purchase, and no extra effort is required on your part.
Yeah, a reminder that we do all of this for free, but it unfortunately is not free to do. So anything you can do to help us out would be great. Don't forget to also keep commenting, sending us those tweets, those emails, those Facebook comments, or berate us on Reddit. Without your interaction, we can't fix what you think is wrong or keep what is right. Let us know how we are doing, and you can always just get on there and tell Kyle he is horrible hellspawn and needs to go back to his creator, Lucifer.
I prefer to think of Mondo Jesus as my creator, but to each his own. We won't know until you hit that comment button. Get on there, give us your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas. We really enjoy hearing them. I might berate you for it, but that doesn't mean we're not all having fun.
That's right. Hey, enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football is America with Ron and Kyle. I'm Ron.
I'm Kyle. Today we are going to be doing just a little bit of draft review. We're of the opinion that if you want an in-depth analysis of the draft, you're already getting it from wherever you get your football information. We don't have that kind of time, so we're just going to touch on it a little quicker.
Yeah, we want to thank you for listening, first off. We are not draft experts, like Kyle just said. We're going to be having a draft review show here in a little bit, coming up probably in the next few weeks. And then that'll be kind of our June revival, which kind of brings us to our next topic, which is that I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks. So we're going to be taking the next time off. And we've decided at this point that this is going to be our annual hiatus. We will do a little draft review show. And then from then on, we're going to take the rest of the month off, and we will be back in June, first week of June. We'll do a little bit of a welcome back show. And then Trevor Woods from SB Nation, he will be joining us to go over and get into every draft pick that is of importance to him and to us, and really get onto who had the best draft class, all that kind of stuff. So stick with us and, take the summer, have some of your own vacation time. You know, you don't have to rely on us. And if you're relying on us to get you through your day, you have a lot more problems than just downloading our show.
I'm assuming things are really bad. Like, for that guy, like, you know, it's been a rough week. I know what's going to make it all better. Ron and Kyle using their sweet angelic voices to lull me into a false sense of security and comfort. That's a bad answer. That is a sign that things have gone wrong. Actually, I think we should be honest and say the reason we want to go on hiatus is not just you're going to be gone for 3 weeks. It's after doing all those interviews and all the editing. I mean, way more for you, but even my wife was like, damn, this takes up a lot of your time. And then that just meant for Ron, it's like, this is my entire life now.
Yeah, I spent about 30 to 40 hours a week working on the show, working on the interviews, editing, preparing for the interviews, getting everything done, getting it out to Nick, getting him to produce it, getting it back, getting it posted. And then in that time, we also started a new website. We have a new media partner. We have all this stuff going on, and it was a lot. Plus, I, as many of you know, am a full-time student, so I'm taking 16 credit hours on top of that. It was just a lot to take on. I just need some time to myself. My wife and I were going on a cruise.
And then his wife has a parasite inside of her. I mean, you know.
that's also called a baby.
Yeah. By the way, Ron's wife is pregnant, everybody. Yay. So go ahead and send your money.
Get on the Amazon link, for God's sake.
Yeah, do that. And we know what you're wondering. All right, 30, 40 hours a week. Why does this show suck so bad? All right, valid point. But.
Yes, that is a valid point.
Actually, I got nothing. I don't know why the show sucks so bad. I assume it's just we don't want you to be happy.
Well, with that said, let's go ahead and get into this, shall we?
All right, everybody, we got to have this a little bit unstructured. The draft is a massive event. There's too much to go over. So it's just going to be all over the place and you can just deal with it.
That, and I'm also joining you from my in-laws' house. It's a big room, it's full of echo, and you know, we didn't want to make this a big spectacle. We just want to kind of give our opinion on some of the things we saw during the draft, some of the things that we didn't see during the draft, and kind of what our take is on everything, whether it be from the people booing Goodell to everything else. So that is why we're here. Like I said, we're going to be doing our more in-depth stuff come June.
Yep. So first thing we should talk about, and actually, I'm only just now thinking of it, draft was not New York. It was in Chicago. I thought the venue was very beautiful and all that, blah, blah, whatever. I did not like, however, no green room. I always enjoyed seeing the parents of the kids who were getting drafted looking super happy, all the moms super proud of their boys, and knowing, I don't have to work again. I missed that.
Well, they still had kind of a setting similar where the people are sitting at tables and stuff like that. Not everybody goes into that green room, and I'm okay with that. I did find it a little weird that for the first round, the second round, and I believe the third round, the teams were like in their little war rooms. And then after that, when the fourth round started on Saturday, they had just like a little area roped off with all 32 teams at tables. And I get that that's pretty much how they do it, how they did it at Radio City Music Hall, but it just seemed real weird to me. In also because, I mean, what's the point? Why do they have to be there if all the draft picks aren't there anyway?
A little confusing, but I think the idea is, look, by the fourth round, we need to make this a little uncomfortable for everybody. We got to speed this along. You know,
Well, they did change the amount of time that you had to take it. You had for picks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they changed it from 5 minutes to, I believe, 4 minutes, at least in the seventh round, right?
Yeah, definitely reducing the time overall. And you definitely noticed that quite a bit. Like just watching the first, I think that was the only round that, you know, when it was on, we were watching that and doing nothing else. But those picks are just coming in one right after another. The only team that really took a long time was the Jets with the number, what was it, 6 overall? I mean, they were the only ones who were kind of down to the wire and still had their pick in with 30 seconds left. I get it. They were probably trying to trade their pick and didn't get a great enough offer. But, I mean, it's just, hey, this pick's in. And so is the next one, and so is the next one. Really like the tempo of the draft.
Really. And it seemed like towards the end of the first round, picks were coming in faster and appearing on the screen before they could even come out and announce them. Like it was, they were just coming in so quickly. And it's I haven't seen that in a draft. If I have, it's been a really long time, but I can't even remember a time when it's been like that. Not to that extent.
Well, and I suppose we should also probably talk about the means in which we watch the draft. Now, I have cable. Ron is a horrible communist who doesn't. So I was watching on NFL Network, looking at Rich Eisen's beautiful bald head, you know, and all the knowledge therein, giving me the information that I need. Problem was, I was getting about a minute faster of a feed than Ron was. as he was watching online on his Xbox with the ESPN app. All right, cool. So I get on my Xbox and I start watching with the NFL app. That's behind the ESPN app. So then Ron has me download the ESPN. That doesn't work. So then he downloads the NFL. And I don't know the names of the guys on the NFL app, but it seems like the NFL said, hey, if you're watching this, you're on your computer or something. You're a nerd. So let's get the nerdiest dudes we know who like football and have them be the ones announcing it. And it was just god awful.
At one point, I was so frustrated that they were still talking because they were so terrible. I get that you want to appease to a certain type of person or a certain generation or whatever. I get that. But I mean, come on. These guys were awful. And when I'm so used to seeing, you know, Boomer out there just losing it with his deep voice and his really, 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 really big bags underneath of his eyes and stuff like that. I'm used to that kind of thing. That's what I want to see. And if I can't,
yeah, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And when I can't see, you know, Rich Eisen and his glorious head, you know, out there telling me everything I need to know. And Rich Eisen, he talks so smooth and it's so nice. And
girl, he treat you so fine.
And then they give us these two guys who could barely speak. I mean, they were better than they were. I mean, essentially Kyle and I could have gotten up there and been like, yeah, we know better than these guys, because I remember them messing up names. They didn't have positions right. I mean, these guys were horrible, and I hope the NFL fixes that. I know they don't listen nor care what we have to say.
They don't need to, but they could. I did, however, like the part through the NFL app. They got the impression that, look, this is a certain type of fan watching. We can be a little more free. They had some wild stuff going on, and I want to say it was Michael Bennett of Seattle was there for some reason in some capacity. And I believe he was talking about Vic Beasley, defensive end selected by the Falcons, and talking about how he didn't like how the guy was dressed. And the lady he's with was like, whoa, what's going on? You know, you're hating on him a little bit. He's like, no, he looks good. I mean, he looks good. I mean, it's just, he looks like he's dressed up to go to a ghetto prom. And I enjoyed that immensely. You'd never get away with that on the main draft. Oh, this is offensive. No, online, it's like, you don't give a. You probably have said worse things, you know?
Well, what about the dude that showed up in a dress? God, who was that?
That was Danny Shelton.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't a dress. I mean, it was, but
That was a dress. It was a dress.
Okay, it was a dress. He was dressed weird as hell. I get it. You're from some weird Pacific island and you've got some cultural heritage. But here's what Ron and I both said as we watched man dressing on up. Like, if you're going to wear the traditional, you know, man dress, why are you wearing like Italian leather shoes? It really weird
socks with high.
Yeah.
Socks.
Like, why not wear sandals and have a bone through your nose and a spear to throw? So that way we know that we as are better than you.
Well, we have just stereotyped the out of that. So let's go ahead and get on with that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to give you things to edit.
Let's start, Kyle, with the Cowboys not taking a running back at all either.
Definitely an interesting point, especially with that whole, well, we want Adrian Peterson. We don't want to give up a first for him. Hey, it's a deep class. And on top of losing, you know, the great running back in DeMarco Murray, you figure you got to go somewhere with it. Nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like at this point they're going to be like, all right, let's take this great offensive line and see what Darren McFadden can do with it. And it's just, it's not going to turn out good. I would assume that they're going to be targeting a lot of undrafted free agents and maybe still trying to get a trade for somebody. It's still possible that they could do that, especially with Adrian Peterson not showing up to voluntary workouts and stuff like that. I can't foresee their running game being very good, and that's just something that they need in Dallas to be successful. I mean, you saw how much of an impact that had this last year. Without it, there's just no way that they are even half the team that they were last year.
We talked about this a little bit in our last show, not just like the running game and all that, but when we were talking about the Steelers and we were talking about their defense, like, oh, hey, the Steelers defense is going to be so bad. You're going to have to put up 40 points a game just to keep up. And you can't do that, you know. Tony Romo looked so good because people were prepping to defend the run, giving him a lot more favorable looks. for the passing game. If that's not going to happen, I mean, it's a bad look for Dallas. Definitely a confusing thing for them to not take a running back, because there were some great running backs this year.
Both Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley were out there, and they didn't trade up for either one. And I get that it takes a lot to trade up, but at that point, when you realize that you have a position that is needed that much, and it's a key position like running back, you just have to make the trade. You got to pull the trigger. I get that, you know, Greg Hardy suspended for 10 games, and you want to go after an undersized defensive end in Randy Gregory, you know, three rounds later. But at that point, Todd Gurley's still on the board. 10th pick comes up. He goes off the board. The next thing I'm doing is making phone calls to get Melvin Gordon. I mean, that's it. That's well, as a GM, that's what I'm doing.
There were a lot of other running backs, not just those two. For crying out loud, there were two running backs taken in the first. There were two taken in the second. There were four taken in the third round. There were some quality backs, and the Cowboys had nothing to do with any of it. You could make the argument it was too early for a lot of those guys to be taken in the late second, a little bit ahead of their time, hard to trade down. Fine, but what are you going to get more out of? Randy Gregory, a very undersized pass rusher, situational guy with a lot of questions about his emotional state and ability and all that. Or do you want to take a running back who has been proven? I mean, running back I wanted for my Colts all through the draft, Tevin Coleman, dude managed over 1,000 yards with a broken foot, 2,000 yard season with no offensive line or passing game to speak of. He would have been an amazing talent in Dallas, and they had no interest. And when you say, who are you going to get more out of, Tevin Coleman or some equivalent, or Randy Gregory, it's like, come on, man. You know, it's not too late to trade Tony Romo for Johnny Manziel, too, by the way, Jerry. I mean, keep going with your path.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for Dallas this year. But let's go on to the Bears. They take a wide receiver with their first pick. I was not happy with that at first. I was shooting flares of hatred from the rooftops.
You were pissed.
I was not happy. I was really high on Landon Collins at the time. There was so many other needs that could be addressed with the defense that has been the worst for 2 years running. I couldn't understand taking a wide receiver. And then some of the breakdown stuff came out. Kyle was one of the people that texted me and said, just so you're aware, outside of Alshon Jeffrey, the rest of the Bears receivers have 24 combined receptions. And I was like,
For career.
For their careers.
Not just like last year, but like for life. So it was definitely interesting, because initially you were like, every year they do this to me. Every year. The receiver they took, I want to say Kevin White, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, now, he was one of those guys, had just kind of one great season, not a lot before that. So there's some question marks there, but the talent is there. And initially, you were very skeptical of that talent, with good reason, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you're looking at number 7, best nose tackle, best defensive tackle, all those guys are still there. It's one of those, hey, why don't you get Danny Shelton? That guy will be a force. You know, right up the middle, he'll plug those holes. He'll do great. Nope, we're going to skip on that. All right, well, Landon Collins, you get a great safety. I mean, a little early for him, but why not? Nope, get that wide receiver. And it seemed confusing, but when you look at what else is going on there, it does kind of make sense. And you were having a big conversation with Larry, and Larry brought up some good points to the lack of concern for not addressing defense. You know, one thing that definitely helped Ron out, he goes to our main man, Larry Dyer of Chicago Bears Review. Love you, Larry. And Larry did point out, maybe a little over-optimistically, but still valid, like, look, you get Vic Fangio in here, and he has taken the San Fran defense from laughingstock to powerhouse. Now, you could say the talent was still there. It's not there in Chicago, but still, there's reason for optimism. I did, however, enjoy you just being so pissed for like an hour. I'm like, this is going to be bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. I was definitely irritated, as I always am with Chicago's first round picks. And I've had to deal with one for a few years because, you know, we traded all of our first round picks to get Jay Cutler. So, I mean, there's that.
Wait, who was it you traded them for?
Jay Cutler.
And he plays what position again?
I don't want to talk about it.
And he is how good?
I'm pretty sure I said I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, they did go out and redeem themselves with their second round pick, and they got themselves their nose tackle like I was really hoping for. They went out and get Goldman, and that was a good grab. Now I think we can kind of start building our defense up. It's going to be a good time for them. They were rated as like the third or fourth best drafted team with their class. So pretty happy with that. But let's go on to what made me happy and laugh, which was when the Bears didn't take Landon Collins, all I could think of was, this is awful. How could they do this to me? Blah, blah, blah. And then Kyle was like, Landon Collins is going to fall all the way to the Colts and the Colts are going to take him. And all I could think of is, oh, man, this is going to suck so bad. I'm never going to hear the end of it. This is always what's going to be the talk for the rest of the year. And the pick comes, and who do the Colts take? But Philip Dorsett, wide receiver out of Miami. And if you like, I'm not even joking to all of our listeners listening right now. I'm not even joking when I said I'm going to change my pants because when they don't take Collins, I'm going to laugh so hard I'll crap them. And then they didn't take Landon Collins. I did not crap my pants, but I did laugh incredibly hard because not only had they done the same thing to Kyle that they had done to me, but they took a wide receiver that was just not even as good as the wide receiver that we took.
Yeah. And it was made like the sequence of events went essentially like this. Bears make a mistake. I begin to laugh. Colts have a grand opportunity. Colts wastes that opportunity. Patriots pick up opportunity. So the Colts picked up a wide receiver instead of the best safety in the class, instead of the nose tackle, Malcolm Brown out of Texas, who the Patriots were 100% certain the Colts were going to take. They're like, there's no way you don't. Why would you not? The Colts have one of the most stacked wide receiver groups in the league. I'll probably say the most stacked. I think we can say that now. And the worst part is this guy, Philip Dorsett, he is a T.Y. Hilton clone. He ran a sub 4.340. So he's incredibly fast. He's 5'9", like 180 something. So he's a little guy. So he's T.Y. Hilton 2.0, which is confusing mostly because the Colts have T.Y. Hilton 1.0 on roster. And then I just mailed a whole bunch of to Boston.
Well, I'm glad I get to cut that out. All right.
You don't got to cut that out. It's fine.
Yeah, well, I don't want you to making terroristic threats on the okay. Show.
All right. For the purposes of law enforcement, I didn't do that at all. So if there is some jackwad who does mail to Boston.
What are you doing?
I'm covering the bases. I didn't do it. So now if somebody does it, nobody's going to be like, oh, well, look at that ass bag Kyle. He did it. And then he bragged about it. First off, I'm not smart enough to do it. Second off, if I do have
it's you're just like, making it so much worse.
I'm not making it worse. I'm fixing it. You want to let me fix it? Just it's fine.
You just dig your hole to China, like, because that's pretty much at this point what you're doing.
That's a brilliant escape plan, though, fool. So anyway, if I do have it in my possession, I'm sick with it and then dead, and so that doesn't work, and so everything's fine. We're good to go. I don't have. I didn't mail it to Boston, and if you do, you're wrong. Unless you take out a certain individual who we will not name, but his initials are Tom Brady.
Oh,
in any case, look, also kind of like the Bears, the Colts did do an all right job later on in the draft, traded down their second with the Buccaneers, pick up a third and the team swap fourth rounders, get a cornerback from Florida Atlantic in the third, get two Stanford defensive linemen, and Stanford does run a 3-4. They picked up Henry Anderson, a defensive end in the third, David Perry, a defensive tackle in the fifth. Both are incredibly highly graded by a lot of people, and it's just one of those, they didn't have maybe the incredible upside of some of the other picks, but the floor is real high. So the Colts did all right, aside from the fact that they took a player they already had in the draft. And he seems like a good kid and whatever and fine. I'm excited for him, but at the same time, when you're there and you're like, all right, just don't mess this up. They softballed this into you, Ryan Grigson. Don't mess this up. All you have to do is do the thing that everybody wants. Don't mess it up. And even if he had taken the defensive tackle instead of the safety, would have been like, oh, well, you know, it makes sense. Yeah, okay, one way or the other. But the defense. We got the defense. No, when you take the position you're strongest at, yeah. Now, Ron was talking to me about this earlier, and he said this is a dumb pick, and I have to agree with him. The only mindset, you know, because, you know, as a fan, you start doing the rationalizing and convincing yourself that isn't the worst pick that is going to lead to your home being foreclosed on and your kids dying in the street and whatever. Like, you got to do that. So the mental gymnastics I have done essentially is that this isn't a pick to beat the Patriots. It's a pick to beat all the other teams, and somehow they're going to beat the Patriots anyway. I'm thinking Wizards.
So what did you think about Landon Collins falling out of the first round and going to the Giants at the very beginning of the second round?
It was one of those things where for the longest while, he was just considered the top safety. And there wasn't exactly a whole lot of reason for it or for other people not being the top safety. And it just seemed like one of those, oh, this is what all the draft experts have foretold. And that's just how it is. And then the day of the draft, things start coming out. Well, there's a real concern about his ability to play coverage, and he's essentially just a run-stopping safety and this, that, and the other. And I guess some of that stuff was always a concern, just not being voiced, and that's probably why he didn't get picked up. There were probably some legitimate play concerns. And, you know, the article his mom wrote about how he's a butthole and, you know, doesn't listen to her and listens to his draft people probably didn't help. I'm sure he wants to go ahead and thank her for the millions of dollars he lost, but he goes to the Giants. That's something.
Well, he goes to the Giants. They play a in-the-box safety-style defense. It'll be good for him there. He'll develop well there. I think he'll definitely be using his strengths in that division where he's going to have to stack up against DeMarco Murray. He's going to have to stack up against the run the Redskins are attempting to put together, and then whatever run game that Dallas is going to try to do as well. It's going to be a good spot for him there in that scheme, I think. Quick little hit on here before we get into the main story of the draft was no quarterbacks taken until the fourth round, and Huntley, who was considered the third or fourth best quarterback, ended up being taken, I think, as the fifth or sixth quarterback, and he went to the Packers in the fifth, which is a big-time bummer for him because he will never see the field.
And as soon as he was taken, all of a sudden, this avalanche of hatred on him, like, well, he doesn't make his progressions very well, and he takes too many sacks, he throws too many picks. Like, essentially, he's a big, athletic, talented guy, but not very good. Like, he's an athlete, not a quarterback, if that makes sense. And when your NFL comparison is Josh Freeman, it's bad.
It just was a really bad year for quarterbacks in general. There wasn't anybody that was super flashy. Even the first and second round picks of Winston and Mariota, I guess, were far superior to those others. But I mean, we all know what everybody's thoughts are on those two guys too. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But tough year for QBs, that's for sure.
It really is, and everybody still has this idea that every year there's got to be X amount of talented quarterbacks. There really doesn't have to be. Look back at the 2013 draft class. There's very few decent players, let alone good players. I don't think anybody from there is elite. It just doesn't happen sometimes. And this year, just not a year for quarterbacks. And I blame all the butt huggers who really want that spread style, crazy style college offense to be the standard there. It doesn't work. Your best guys, your Johnny Manziels, suck diddly uck when they get to the NFL. So let's stop doing things the wrong way, which is your way. Start doing it the right way, which is the Ron Kyle way, and you will cleanse that colon to success.
And I don't want to hear all the fans talk about how Russell Wilson has transcended scheme and made it popular. No, Russell Wilson has had Marshawn Lynch, and he is the exception at quarterback, not the rule. I mean, let's be completely very honest much here. I mean, you can't take a traditional spread option quarterback, put him in the NFL where he has to line up under a center rather than in the gun all the time, and actually expect him to be able to read a defense and everything. Like, most people don't understand what goes into the transition from a spread to a a pro style quarterback. When you're in the gun, you get to see everything. You have a running back beside you. You can read the defense, check out their shifts, everything. When you have to snap the ball from center, you can't see the defense always. You can really only see the first few guys, maybe the second level, which is the linebacker level. You have to read that defense while dropping back just before throwing the football. Why do you think Jay Cutler sucks so much? Because he can't do that. A lot of these guys that are smaller can't do that. A lot of these guys who turn the ball over a whole lot don't do that well. That is the problem. And so when you take a guy that has never had to be under center, snap the ball, drop back, read the defense, and get rid of the football in 3 seconds, it's just a recipe for disaster. So you can tell me all you want about how, well, in college it works so well. Yeah, in college it does work so well. Why? Because half the players that you're playing on the other side of the football field aren't the best in the country. When you get to the pros, they are. So even the guys that are third string, guess what? They're still the best at third string than anybody else in the country at any college ever or anybody else in the world. Because if somebody else was better, guess what? They wouldn't be on the football team.
More often than not, you can take the worst team in the NFL and they will beat the best team in college football. More often than not, that will happen. So, and also in addition to the Russell Wilson thing, just like Robert Griffin, when you start making that guy play pro style, you know, the way that is routinely successful and doesn't result in you getting injured, he is terrible. He is bad. He throws a ridiculous amount of picks. And then what ends up happening is in the fourth quarter, they go back to college style. And essentially, he's a more talented Tim Tebow in that regard.
Right. Better delivery on the
football. Wow. That is a horrible thing I just said about Russell Wilson.
But it's the truth. I mean, when all else fails with the run game and with the traditional pro style game plan, we talked about it all the time last year. They switched to that spread out, let Russell Wilson just go nuts offense. And they have a team that executed it well, better than the Redskins did. So good for them. Now, we got to move on here, though. Let's talk about Collins.
Lonnie Collins, right. Because you know what? L-A apostrophe E-L. You go ahead and have your own Nick Cage named me sort of, you know, birthright, whatever. We're just calling you Collins from now on. So anyway, Collins, you know the story. Ex-girlfriend murdered, taken down to Louisiana to answer questions.
And she was pregnant, too.
Yeah, pregnant. Kid might have been his. We don't know. The child did not survive. Ron, you got way more on this than I do.
It's a big mess. Basically, the cops asked him to come down there and kind of clear up some situation. Never charged him. Never claimed he was going to be charged. They just wanted to question him and ask him what he knew because he could be paramount in helping figure out this case. In fact, it came out to a point where they realized that he couldn't have even been there. So there is no evidence even remotely, even circumstantial, supporting that he was there for it. He just went down there to help answer some questions.
To help, yeah.
To really just to help. And that has ended up costing him an entire draft. Millions of dollars. He doesn't have draft insurance. He didn't need it. A few days before the draft, he got screwed. It's a complete matter of terrible circumstance. And until I hear anything about him being charged, anything about his involvement, anything about him paying somebody to do it, anything about her being crazy and him having, you know, even the slightest bit of evidence, I'm going to feel this way. He got effed. That's what happened.
He really did. He seems like a decent enough guy. He was more than willing to help the police. And he could have said, look, you guys, either come at me with a warrant for questioning, which they wouldn't have done because he's not a suspect, or, you know, he could have just been like, look, I have nothing to do with this. I'm about to be drafted. Why don't you just shut the hell up about it for 1 week and then I'll come help you. He did the right thing and he's being punished for it. And NFL teams don't know what to do right now. The NFL feels largely bad about it too, but nobody wants to take a guy if he's going to, one, resent being picked too late, and you don't want to waste a first or second round pick on a dude who might not be there. It's a bad policy. So he's getting hosed. The NFL needs to do the right thing. Announce him as part of the supplemental draft. Just understand there are, you know, extenuating circumstances, and that since he was not involved even remotely in any wrongdoing, as it seems, all right, well, just, you know, supplemental that guy out. He'll be a at the very lowest, a second round supplemental guy. You know, he'll get his money. I'm sure of that, but it's just, I mean, gosh, it's just tough right now.
Yeah, bad situation. The NFL could have allowed him to remove himself from the draft. They denied him the ability to do that. And I thought that was kind of a dick move on the NFL's part as well. They could have let him leave the draft, remove himself, and re-enter next year, but they didn't. They wouldn't. And or even just go into the supplemental draft, you know, during the summer, and they didn't let him do that either. And so it was kind of a bum deal. And I understand the NFL's position. I mean, they don't know what's going on. And with all of the issues they've had with Aaron Hernandez and Adrian Peterson and Greg Hardy and the Ray Rice thing, I mean, they can't take chances right now. So I understand their position. You know, this sucks and we're really sorry, but we just have to do what we think is best for the league. And that's what they're doing. But unfortunately, in this case, I think they did it to the wrong person. At least initially, that is my thought. Like I said, with more evidence or with more information, I might change that opinion. But right now, at face value, that's what it seems like.
On the plus side, I mean, definitely not a plus side for Collins or anything like that, but teams really did a good job of sort of staying away from character issue players. You know, if you had something negative going on, you weren't getting drafted where you were projected. Anyway, I mean, the guy who got the closest, Shane Ray, was taken, I think, 23rd overall by Denver. He was projected as a top 10, possible top 5 pick, you know, like 6 overall. And obviously that didn't happen because some marijuana concerns. And there's a lot of stuff that is just not being tolerated anymore. And I love that. I think that's great because telling the kids in the college, hey, you can't do this. It will cost you money. They don't care. They show up to the draft wearing $100,000 watches because their agents will buy them for them. The guys who you need to get on board with this mentality are the agents, because when they start going, yeah, you're smoking pot, dropping you as a client, good luck with that, buddy. All of a sudden the kids will get the point and people will act right. So it's a slow going process. I like it though. Stop doing the drugs.
Hey, Kyle, let's go through a few of these draft picks. At least we'll get through the first round here. We don't have a whole lot of time, so we can't spend too much time on it, but let's jump.
And nobody, like, we're going to talk about some dude in the fifth round. Like, we have any sort of knowledge about it. Like, I don't know. He's maybe good, but he's maybe terrible. That's how every round after the third is.
Right.
It's a crapshoot.
Let's go over at least the first round picks here and kind of see how we thought about them and what the overall opinion versus our opinion was. But we can't spend too terribly much time on this. So let's start with, of course, the number one overall pick. Jameis Winston goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as expected. Florida State, 2013 Heisman Trophy winner. Kyle, your thoughts?
I like the part where he was at his home. First off, I like that. Spent time with family, especially when you hear his reason for being at home was grandma wasn't in good enough health to make the flight, and he wants to have grandma in on the moment. Good for you, young man. I like it. The part I really, really, really like is when he put up a photo on Instagram of him eating crab legs.
Yeah, and a lot of people were kind of up in arms about that. And I didn't understand that. They're like, well, is he putting crab legs up because he's trying to be funny and make fun of himself, or is he doing it?
Yes, he is. All right, the time to get concerned is if he's showing himself, like, pinning a woman down and taking advantage of her. That's to be worried about. But if we're cool with letting a potential rapist be number one overall, I gives two craps about crab legs.
All right, so
your thoughts.
That you summed it up very nicely. So let's go on to
number two overall. Kind of a surprise to some people, taken by the Tennessee Titans, 2014 Heisman Trophy winning quarterback out of Oregon, Marcus Mariota. Little bit of a shakeup there.
It seemed like up until the very last second, they were trying to see if they could get what they wanted for him. And they basically come out and said anything less than a top 16 pick was a no-go for them. I think they wanted a little bit more than that. Teams just weren't willing to give it up. And they said, you know what? Fine. We'll take Mariota. We'll turn him into a franchise quarterback. And to hell with all of you. Good luck with that, Wesson Hunt. I think that you're going to have a really tough time with a lot of the decisions you've been making. And it seems at this point that the Titans are just kind of throwing it all away. I get that Mariota was the second best player pretty much at quarterback, I guess. Still, it
questions abound.
Yeah, it just we're going to get what we were talking about the first week of the season. We're going to get the Winston versus Mariota thing. I get it.
It sucks for Zach Mettenberger because despite the fact that he's the sixth round pick, he has this NFL size. He wasn't that bad when you consider the total lack of talent around him. I think he deserves more of a, he's better than Johnny Manziel at least. So he could go to being very good trade bait. He could be worth a fifth or maybe even a fourth round pick to the right team. So that's a big upswing right there. But yeah, for Marcus Mariota, you know, you wish him all the best and all that, but it just seems very unlikely that he's going to reach the kind of lofty levels he reached in college. I mean, that's just, I don't see them, especially with a team as bad as Tennessee.
So you're trying to tell me that Zach Mettenberger is good enough to go to the Browns?
Yeah. I mean, as depressing as that is, yeah, he's good enough to go to the Browns. go ahead and tape another name to that big old jersey there.
Let's go on to number three, Jacksonville Jaguars. They draft Dante Fowler. Good pick there. This is just a filling a position of need. They had some struggle on the outside, defending the run, pass rushing, all of that. So this was a good pick. I'm going to go ahead and skip here to number four to the Oakland Raiders drafting Amari Cooper, wide receiver out of Alabama. 2014, Fred Bill, I can never say this.
Biletnikoff
Award. So, Kyle, your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is, as a Chicago fan, you should be all about pronouncing those crazy Polish names. That's number one.
Well, number two. We never have to because we always have sausage in our mouth.
Sausage. Right.
That's the route I went. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Well, I got to leave that alone, and we're all just going to call me a great human for leaving that alone. Good for Oakland. You take a great wide receiver to pair with your young up-and-coming quarterback. It's a smart move. It's a smart pick. He wasn't going to be around much longer. I mean, it's a good play for them. And I don't see any negative with it. The only thing I want to know is, does this buy any additional job security for Reggie McKenzie?
I would say that it does at this point. For right now, it looks like a great pick. If the Raiders come out and they win more than four games, and it has a lot to do with the Derek Carr to Amari Cooper connection, that will be a big time lift in everybody's opinion of him. And the Raiders at this point, they've been so bad that they had just a great draft, to be honest. They went after the positions they needed to go after. Going for Cooper in the first round was brilliant because they knew what they had to do to improve what they saw from Derek Carr last year, and with an actual vertical and top end passing game, now they'll actually be able to run the football better. That and the, you know, not having Darren McFadden anymore, that helps a lot too.
Well, yeah, but they replaced him with Trent Richardson.
Well, I think Trent Richardson's more of your rotational guy. I think this is going to be more of a Latavius Murray.
Trent Richardson's not a rotational guy unless the rotation is rotating from offense to defense. That's where Trent Richardson specializes. Well, let's just say the really cool thing about Amari Cooper, he's not a gimmick wide receiver. He's not just about speed or route running. He's kind of a jack of all trades wide receiver. Pretty fast, pretty good routes, not like the absolute best at necessarily anything, but he can be a true number one, and that is super rad. And the Raiders really need to nail the draft because they're still not getting it done via free agency.
Yes. I just realized we are not going to have enough time to go over all these. So we're going to go top 10.
Well, okay. We can do top 10 and maybe a couple interesting ones. Number five, 2014 Outland Trophy winner, offensive tackle out of Iowa, Brandon Scherff or Scherff. We'll just call him Scherff because it's fun. A lot of people not too thrilled with this pick here at five, Ron.
Yeah, I think that was more or less because he is a tackle taken high who is most likely going to convert to guard for the time being. For some reason, the mentality on offensive linemen is, well, how could you ever take a tackle that you're going to convert to guard with the fifth overall pick? Well, it's because you're going to convert him to guard so that he can be prepared to play tackle later. And everybody's saying, well, he's not a left tackle. Well, you know who else wasn't a left tackle? Ben Grubbs. And you know what he ended up being? One of the best guards in football. So, I mean, you can say whatever you want and I guess I just don't understand everybody's mentality about offensive and defensive linemen. You never take them that high. You just don't take them that high. Well, if that's your biggest position of need and you know that this is the best guy at the position of need that you have, why not just go ahead and take him? If you know he's going to be gone, come your next pick. It doesn't make any sense to take somebody else and then trade, have to spend a sell the farm to go up again to get somebody else that you really wanted before somebody else gets him. It doesn't make any sense. Go after the guy you need. They went after the guy they needed. The Redskins have a lot of problems on offensive line. He's going to help solidify those problems and maybe prevent RG3 from, you know, obliterating another knee. I mean, that's the point here, right?
You and I have talked off the air a lot about the line. And when you're a running team, your guards are really, really stupid important because they're the ones creating the lanes. So for a team like the Redskins that really needs the run game to be successful, they really need to get that up and going again. Yeah, you know, maybe a guy who will be a tackle in 2 to 3 years being a guard right now, not the worst thing.
New York Jets, number 6, they go after Leonard Williams, defensive end out of USC. A lot of people talking about how this wasn't a great pick for them. I'm a complete disagreement. Kyle is on the completely other side of the fence. My reason is that if you're strong up front and you know that you have a weak secondary, you build your strength on strength. Now you have three guys up there that are going to terrorize an offensive line, no matter the offensive line. These teams in the AFC East are going after Tom Brady. That is the point of Leonard Williams. It is to go out there and demolish Tom Brady. If you have a rotation of Muhammad Wilkerson and I believe, is it Sheldon Richardson?
It is.
And Leonard Williams, that's a pretty hefty rotation.
It is. And that's where a lot of the criticism comes in. Like, why not address a position of need? But I mean, I get it. Like you said, you go ahead, you pile up. These guys are in contract years and all that, and the security against injury. There's a lot to like about it. Plus, he's a solid pick. As long as he doesn't Jadeveon Clowney it up in here, it'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, looking at number 7, we've already talked a little bit about this. Chicago Bears pick up Kevin White, wide receiver out of West Virginia. A lot of people were debating between him and Amari Cooper as the top wide receiver in the draft. That might just be those draft nicks trying to get some page views or whatever. Still, probably a very solid pick for the Bears.
Less upset about it now, borderline happy. Obviously, the Bears are going to need some help. And from what you and I have talked about at length, Kyle, is that if the Jay Cutler thing isn't going to work, at least now you've built yourself for some success later on for the next guy coming in there. So good pick there. Number 8, Atlanta Falcons started their draft off the right way by going after Vic Beasley, outside linebacker from Clemson, 2014 ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Great linebacker, definitely a position they needed to sum up. I don't know a ton about him. I don't know if you know a ton about him, Kyle, but it was definitely something
I know he dresses up as though he's going to ghetto proms. aside from that, people were saying, look, this guy, he might not be the top linebacker. He might not be the top defensive end. What he is quite possibly the top pass rusher. So maybe he doesn't have the coverage skills. He might not be a 3-down linebacker. That's fine. The Atlanta Falcons have had trouble on pass rush for a long time. This is a huge need being addressed, and it's a great pickup for them.
Number 9, the New York Giants go after Ereck Flowers, offensive tackle Miami. This is a great, great pick, in my opinion, because the Giants have had a few issues with offensive line, and by a few, I mean a lot. It seems like forever they haven't been able to protect Eli Manning. I feel like he's getting mashed quite a bit, and had it not been for Victor Cruz going down and Odell Beckham really emerging, I think last year would have been a completely different story with coaches fired and everything. They're going to bring him in. I don't know if he'll play tackle or if he'll play guard to start, but he's going to be a direct contributor right away for that offensive line that has needed an anchor in the middle, which is why I think he'll play guard.
The people who have the opposite view, a pessimistic view, are kind of saying, look, if Brandon Sheriff is kind of a reach at 5, then to take this guy at 9, that's terrible. They really wanted to get Brandon Sheriff or whatever. Didn't work out. I think he'll be fine. I think you're right. Let's roll on. Number 10, St. Louis Rams make a huge, huge splash, taking running back Todd Gurley out of Georgia. Definitely a surprise given his ACL tear and the running back talent already there in St. Louis. But I think this is them kind of announcing to the NFL they are ready to start competing for real in the very tough NFC West.
Well, they need a quarterback before they can do that.
Well, they have Nick Foles, which, you and I both agree he's been highly overrated and been kind of exposed, but I think he's more dependable than, at the very least, Sam Bradford, and he at least gives you a competent starter. So he's at least decent. That's something.
Well, they're also a run-first team. They're going to be running the ball pretty much out the gate, probably 20, 30 times a game. They're not going to ask Nick Foles to play a crazy hybrid college offense. They're going to ask him to drop back, release the ball, check down when he needs to, make his first, make his second read, check it down if he has to. Hopefully Gurley's going to be the guy he's checking down to. But it does cause a little turmoil in St. Louis with Todd Gurley being drafted. Trey Mason and Zach Stacy were both very unhappy and immediately were talking trades the moment he was drafted.
So, butthurt.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Cool. Well, let's keep going because a lot of these are just like, yep, sure, whatever, such as Trey Waynes, first corner taken out of Michigan State, goes to the Vikings, and all I can say about that is, yep, he sure did.
Well, they've had a lot of issues with secondary. You play in a division where Matt Stafford throws the ball a lot, Jay Cutler throws the ball a lot, whether it's good or not, and then, of course, you have Aaron Rodgers to deal with. You got to have a strong secondary. Right. It's just something you have to have.
If nothing else, you need to take advantage of all those bad Jay Cutler throws and have somebody who can take that and make it a turnover. So, fair enough. Cleveland Browns, picking at 12, were able to pick up Danny Shelton, defensive tackle out of Washington, came out, gave Roger Goodell a great big hug, scooped him up, actually lifted him up. Great pickup for Cleveland. Shame for him. He's got to go to Cleveland.
Well, the Cleveland Browns had a pretty good draft as well. They went big on both the offensive and defensive lines. I think what they're trying to say is, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us with your secondary. You're going to have to beat us with your passing game. And I don't understand
that. No, you're just going to have to beat us by the fact that you have anything resembling an offense or anything even slightly resembling a defense, because the problem now for Cleveland is they are all in on Johnny Manziel.
Yes, they're
all in. They have put all the chips for this year, at least. I mean, next year is a different story, but it is 100% Johnny Manziel, because what, we're going to expect Josh McCown to go out there and be the guy in Cleveland without Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall? No, it's not happening. So good for them for taking a great defensive player. They have a lot of other needs, and I don't know.
Well, let's go ahead and we're just going to read off here. Andres Pete, offensive tackle from Stanford, goes to the New Orleans Saints. Great tackle there. Probably going to be a convert. If nothing else, a right tackle. Miami Dolphins, they take Devontae Parker, wide receiver. They obviously have need a wide receiver. They did get Brandon Cooks. They do have Greg Jennings, but they need a young guy there as well.
They made a smart pick because their defense is very well settled through free agency. They are making a run at Tom Brady. Good, good selection. Number 15, San Diego Chargers take Doak Walker, award winner of 2014, running back Melvin Gordon out of Wisconsin, traded with San Fran. Melvin Gordon is a great running back. They want to recreate the sort of success they had with Danian Tomlinson was there. That's big shoes to fill, but a very good pick for them. They are trying to make a run while Phillip Rivers is still able to do so and not being full of babies.
Well, not just that, but while he's there, the more and more it looks like they're going to L.A., the less and less likely it is he's going to play there. So it's kind of next year or never at this point.
True enough. Number 16, Houston Texans select Kevin Johnson, cornerback out of Wake Forest. A lot of the reading I have done on this is indicating that Houston's goal was to finally get somebody who can stop T.Y. Hilton from gashing them for 200 plus yards an outing, which is funny because, as we already discussed, the Colts picked up T.Y. Hilton 2.0. So that's funny to me.
Well, I believe Jonathan Joseph, he's going to be on his way out next year. He's going to be in a contract year. The young guy there, he just signed a big contract. So this is going to be an eventual replacement for Jonathan Joseph.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, definitely a good pick.
It's a good pick for Houston. They have a really strong pass rush and, you know, defensive line. Now they need to improve the secondary. This shows they're making those steps. San Francisco, we all thought they were going to be going linebacker. Instead, they went defensive end, selecting Arik Armstead out of Oregon. A lot of people not liking this pick. A lot of people have been poking a lot of holes in Armstead's game. There are a lot of questions about this. So this is really going to be a very, very defining pick for this new regime in San Fran, because when you take your defensive line coach and promote him to head coach and the first player drafted is a defensive lineman, that's a signature move right there. So this is going to be a very critical thing for San Francisco.
I think this is going to be the determination. His success is going to hold the key as to whether Trent Baalke and Cem Tolisola are returning after this next year.
Well, I would not be that shocked with the one and done. What I was shocked by was at 18, the Kansas City Chief selecting cornerback Marcus Peters out of Washington, went all of last year without a passing touchdown to a wide receiver and did not pick up a wide receiver. So interesting thing. Maybe they felt they did enough in free agency. You can never have enough corners in this league. So probably a good signing, could have been better. I think we just keep rolling. At 19, the Cleveland Browns pick again due to the Sammy Watkins trade of last year's draft, and they select Cameron Irving, offensive line or center from Florida State. He was a center for the Florida State Seminoles. He was very, very, very good. They're going to be projecting him as a guard for the first year, which makes sense. You don't want to throw a rookie into center if you don't have to. He'll do just fine, I think. It is a very, very scary thing how many good offensive linemen the Cleveland Browns have. It's good for Johnny Manziel. It's good for the Browns. I like this pick.
The other thing is that he's a huge guy. Like, I think they said he was like 6'5 or something like that. Big, huge dude. And it's hilarious to see how short Johnny Manziel is versus his linemen are going to be towering because he has all these big, huge linemen there. So it's going to be tough for them.
Don't drop that soap there, Johnny.
Number 20, and this will be the last one we can really get to today.
We can do all you go.
No, we're going to get to 20 here, and then we're going to have to kind of cap it off here. Nelson, I'm going to say Aguilar. Isn't that how they say it?
Aguilar,
wide receiver.
Which sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons goblin or something like that.
Wide receiver out of USC. Philadelphia Eagles go wide receiver when they realize that all of their hopes and dreams of Marcus Mariota are gone. So they're going to try and build.
The fun fact is Chip Kelly stays in the Pac-12, you know?
Yeah, but I also think he realizes, well, since I'm probably going to have Sam Glass Bradford out there, then I need to give him targets that are quick and can get into their cuts quick and devise a game that's going to get the ball out fast. And so that's what he went. He went after that.
Sam Bradford is going to be the first player to be wearing like Kevlar body armor on under his pads.
All right. Well, hey, that's going to have to wrap us up, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this quick little draft review. Sorry we couldn't get to all 32 picks. Like I said, we're going to be getting into these in depth later. So this was just our quick little reaction to them. For all of you out there who are like, hey, you didn't get to my pick, we're going to get to you. All right. We've talked about it a little bit.
There are no other picks that are that like, oh, wow, let's talk about this. Aside from the fact that Denver traded, we briefly touched on that. You know, I mean, there were some good picks and some fun stuff. We'll talk about this again. Hey, let's briefly mention kudos to the Baltimore Ravens for trading up in the second to take tight end Max Williams, best tight end in the draft, just before the Steelers had a chance. Not only getting your guy, but keeping him from your rivals, that's a win-win, and that is funny.
Yeah, lots of good players that I have on my board of just to talk about. So we're going to get to a lot of these guys, everybody, and a lot of these trades and a lot of the devious moves that were made. Don't worry. This will be all stuff that we're going to cover in the future. Thank you so much for joining us. To our listeners, we appreciate everything. To our military, we also appreciate you, everything you do. Come home safe. If you're out there, you're listening right now, you're on duty, you're on guard, whatever you're doing, you shouldn't be listening, first of all, to the radio while you're on guard duty. You're doing that wrong.
Hell yeah, you should. Don't listen to this boring narc. You do whatever the hell you want, you defender of freedom.
So we also want to thank all of our sponsors, Amazon, NatureBox, and of course, Audible.com. All of those guys are great. Go on our website, check that out. Of course, our website, footballisamerica.com. Check that out. You can email us right there. There's a contact form, or just send your emails to ron@footballisamerica.com or Kyle, K-E-I-L, @footballisamerica.com. Or you can send them to team@footballisamerica.com if you want to send them to both of us. That will work out too. You can check us out on Facebook, Football is America Podcast, on Twitter, @FBIA Podcast. We're also on Pinterest and Reddit and all of those places you can can think of. We're on all of those places. Go there, check us out. Google Plus. We're everywhere. Whatever your social media of choice is, we're there.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
Well, you normally do the Twitter and or you normally do the Stitcher and everything.
Oh yeah, well we are there with the Stitcher and the Pocket Cast. Obviously the iTunes. I mean, come on, you know, it's America. We definitely want you to check us out. Tell your friends, tell your family, or don't. But if you're already suffering, why suffer alone? Get your loved ones in on it. Listen to us at the gym. It is a good time. Everybody around you will appreciate it when you are on the treadmill and you fall on your face because you're laughing. And then you, like, treadmill has that motion that slams you into a pile of weights and you break your leg. So due to us and our hilarity, you will get a sweet, sweet class action lawsuit. Bam, there's $20,000, player. I got you.
Also, thank you to our producer, Nick Wright. He does great work for us. We appreciate everything he does. Go to his website, sound-right.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T. Check that out. And I think that pretty much covers everybody, right, Kyle?
Yeah. We appreciate everybody joining us. We'll have more later. This is just a particularly tough draft to talk about because it was one of the most logical drafts in recent memory, and it really does not have that much controversy.
Yeah, definitely. So check us back. Of course, like I said, we're going to be on hiatus at least 3 weeks, possibly a little bit longer. We should see our next show.
Emphasis on high.
We're going to be seeing you all back the first week of June. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us all year. We need a break. We need to take some time for ourselves. We have families and stuff too, so we appreciate everything that you have done.
I'm not taking a break for myself. I'm about to go be on mountaintops in Alaska for like 3 months. I'm about to make money, fool.
All right, everybody.
You know why I'm going to make money? Because none of you buttholes are getting out there on the Amazon. Like, it's just the webpage. You go to our webpage, search the thing, and then you're on Amazon, and then you buy it, and then we get the money. Why is this so difficult? We add one step to the transaction you're already going to do. This is giving us money. We're not asking you to, like, go help out at a homeless shelter. No, you're not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not asking you to do that. I will ask you to do one extra click because you get the same price. It's just you're giving me money, all right? Because you don't give me money, I have to be gone for 3 months on mountaintops in Southwest Alaska.
All right, well, now that Kyle is done being angry, that is going to wrap us up. Thank you, everybody. Yep. Have a good night.
Thank you.